Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone in the franchise world. My name is Paul Segretto, and this is Franchise Today. Today is April 13th, 2016. Hard to believe. We are in the throes of the second quarter of 2016. My co-host Stan Friedman is with us from Atlanta. Stan, where has this year gone?
You tell me. I can't make sense of it, Paul. I don't know. I don't want to attribute it to just age, but there seems to be a quickening that I can't account for. I mean, it feels like we were just celebrating getting ready for Christmas a minute ago, and here we are well into the year.
Yes, well into the year, and of course, we're right in the middle of what we refer to as franchise season. We've got a lot of events coming up and a lot of happenings in the news of franchising. Why don't you let us know some of those tidbits that we need to know
about?
Well,
my first tidbit today, we're going to take things on a lighter side today. Some weeks we just tend to dive into government affairs so deeply that we want to go kick the dog or something. We depress ourselves. This week, though, I think the first thing I want to share might depress my friend Jerry Darnell, your friend Jerry Darnell as well.
What's going on with Jerry?
Well, part of it's franchise relevant. The other part's not. So I saw a news clip last night that showed a U.S. Airways plane taking off, and the story was this is the last time that an airplane will fly with the U.S. Air logo on it, as it's now all American, which I know Jerry was as deeply vested in U.S. Air as I was in AirTran. So for him, it was painful to see U.S. Air going away. And then today, as I'm looking for items to share with our audience, I found in the IFA Insider this week another of those stalwart icons in our world that means so much to Jerry. Marriott and Starwood shareholders have finally approved the merger. And so shareholders of Marriott International and Starwood Hotels and Resorts voted to approve the merger between the two companies that will create the largest hotel chain in the world, albeit I fear it might be a little bit different than the Marriott chain we've known to date. I hope not, but I think that's the part that would have Jerry worried a little bit too. Bethesda-based Marriott will end up paying about $13.3 billion or $77.94 per Starwood share for the Stamford-based company. No telling how that's going to look at the end of the day. That's a big one. That's a huge merger. I just hope that the Marriott brand prevails in that merger and that the consistency of experience that we've all come to know from Marriott for years doesn't in any way change. Another lighthearted tidbit story for us, Paul. Headline, Sports Clips Haircuts founder and executives join others to shave the day in support of St. Baldrick's Foundation. This is a great story. So razors buzzed to life at the Sports Clips Haircuts National Huddle as more than 130 Shave the Day volunteers went bald and raised more than $110,000 in support of the St. Baldrick's Foundation's work to fight childhood cancer. Sports Clips is St. Baldrick's first national sponsor, and the franchise organization kicked off the partnership with an attempt to raise $50,000 and best a St. Baldrick's record for number of heads shaved at the same time. Our good friend and CEO and Sports Clip founder, Gordon Logan, President Mark Kotarek, and Vice President of Ops, Gordon Edwards Logan, all got into the game, having their heads shaved and collectively raising more than $25,000 as part of the total for the cause. All right, would it be trite of me to say hats off to you, Gordon, and congratulations to Sports Clips for a job well done. Moving along, Paul, there's a piece that I caught also in France Social this week that talked about five key takeaways from revamping a mature franchise development program, something that I'm sure we'll be talking a little bit about in a little while here with Ralph as we introduce our guest this week. But here's another company that's been around for years and years. The franchise business is growing by leaps and bounds, and Dickey's Barbecue is among the companies on the forefront of the waves of change that it takes for iconic legacy brands to remain relevant in today's economy. So Dickies has undergone an internal revamp in their franchise development process, and five best practices that they've learned along the way are just back to the basics stuff, but sometimes it's good to share those back to the basics things that we sometimes take for granted. So their five bullet points were: simplify and streamline, make store operations an attractive selling point to potential franchisees, reassess franchisee qualifications, which is something that I think we should all find ourselves doing more of. One that stood out to me was appeal to millennials and do that with design changes and transparent commitments to values. The fourth was take the word sales out of your vocabulary when talking about franchise development. And fifth was do only what you do best and nix the rest. And Dickies does that with their menu by keeping it simply reduced to the things that they are the very best at, 7 meats and 8 side items. So there's an iconic brand that's been around for, I don't know, 30, 40 years that I've been eating Dickies, and probably a lot longer than that. But, you know, understanding that what you used to do and what you have to do going forward are not the same. You've got to be reinventing yourself. And it jumped out to me that they're looking seriously at millennials, which brought me to this next piece that also came out of Fran Social. It was written by Meineke Car Care's Danny Rivera, and he talked about making franchising appealing to a new wave of entrepreneurs, with 2 out of 3 millennials being interested in entrepreneurship, according to the U.S. Chamber of Commerce. You've got to focus in on these millennials. We know this from all the talk we've shared so many conversations about next gen, and so what they're doing over at Meineke is looking at how to tap into the success-driven nature of millennials. Their advice is that, you know, again, transparency with millennials. They've grown up in an age of diligent online research and product review, and probably a much better educated consumer than perhaps people for those franchises might have been in years past. Again, I'm sure Ralph is going to give us some insights as to how they do that at Grease Monkey. To utilize technology and customer-first positioning is something that millennials just take as rites of passage. You know, some old-school thinkers don't embrace technology the way they could or should, and it really doesn't matter whether you're comfortable doing it or not. If your millennial consumers don't know any other way but embracing technology as rites of passage for their ability to do due diligence and learn about your brand, if you're going to stay in the game, you've got to give your clientele or your prospective clientele what they're looking for, the way they want to find it, not necessarily what's comfortable to you. So a few just short little tidbits there, Paul. And the last thing I want to round out with is that it's not too late for those who have yet to register to exhibit at the IFE in New York. Talk about how quickly this year's gone by. When I saw this this morning, I thought, oh, well, that's way out there. Well, we're mid-April, almost the end of April, trailing half of April, and we're less than 8 weeks away from the IFE. So for those of you who have yet to do so, it's not too late to try to register for remaining exhibit space. IFA members get favorable pricing. It's June 16th through the 18th in New York's Javits Center. So register now if you've not done so yet. And I know that Paul, myself, and many others will be looking forward to seeing some of our friends in New York this summer at the IFE. And that's the front of the house for today, Paul.
You know, we haven't had we have our session, our little comical session. You just can't make that up. And it's been a while since we had one, but I found one. And
all right.
One burger joint's burglary is another shameless, questionable publicity stunt. After a video of a man sneaking into a Five Guys in Columbia Heights and making himself a burger became a viral sensation, Wayback Burgers offered the alleged criminal a year of free burgers if he turns himself in. And, of course, there's some stipulation there as to what, you know, justifies a year's worth of burgers. But, you know, there's something in here that even goes beyond to me, Five Guys, and way back, referring to the Hamburglar. Remember Stan when McDonald's had all those fun-loving characters, including the Hamburglar, that seemed to have gone by the wayside? Anyway, you just can't make that stuff up, that's for sure.
I still can't help but wonder, though, Paul, because when I actually saw that story on the ABC or the NBC Nightly News, and they showed the store's security camera with this guy on the line and heating it up and getting ready to fry up some burgers, I thought then that this has got to be a hoax. This is an inside deal. This is a PR stunt. But I don't know. I mean, who in their right mind would go break into a restaurant to cook himself a meal?
People have done crazier things. Well, you know, today we're talking about vision, strategy, communication, and values. It's actually fun. I want to read two quotes from our guest today, Ralph Yeruso, Senior VP of Operations and Business Development from Grease Monkey. Regarding customers, Ralph says, the customer experience is far and away the most important part of being in business, and we aim to satisfy that or actually overachieve in that area. And about the future, Ralph says, collectively as a management team, we've got great vision, we've got a great strategy map in place, we've got great communication, and we've got great core values in our company. It's a fun place to be. Ralph, it is great to have you as our guest on Franchise Today.
Thank you, gentlemen. Appreciate the invite.
Well, we appreciate you taking the time. We know you have franchisee meetings going on, so we certainly appreciate you being with us today. And it's interesting for me because I spent so much time in the automotive aftermarket, having cut my teeth from operations all the way on up to being president of Moran Industries back in the early 90s. And I know how tough the automotive business can be. Many times it's not a, especially when a repair is involved, it's not an enjoyable experience. So to hear about, you know, you saying the customer experience is far and away the most important part of being in business is really close to my heart because it's so difficult these days with all the review sites. I mean, back in the day, you know, somebody really got ticked off, they'd have to go home and write a letter to the BBB, and most of the time they threw up their hands and they said, the heck with it. Anyway, Ralph, I mean, tremendous job over at Grease Monkey. We see the growth. It continues to grow as a result of, you know, delivering that customer experience as well as adding an array of services and the development of a corporate environment that obviously has created the right culture. And you've been with other brands before. Give us a little insight what it was like coming from those brands on over to Grease Monkey.
Sure. Well, thank you. You know, I spent 28 years in the Driven Brands Network. Ironically, I came into the system as a franchisee and started with one store in New Jersey and grew to two stores in New Jersey and had an opportunity to expand in Colorado, which my wife Stephanie and our six kids, we wanted to raise our children in Colorado. So we had an opportunity to expand out there and we moved out to Colorado and I opened up 13 additional stores. So I ended up being a multi-unit franchisee in the Meineke system with 15 units and did that for about 23 years and retired from that in 2007 and in March actually of 2007 and was recruited by Meineke Corporate in June to come over and do some work with the franchise development team. And that started a whole different career for me. And so, you know, many people refer to it as going to the dark side. And, you know, I enjoyed it. I learned quite a bit on the franchisor side. And, in fact, the last several years I was with Driven, I was chief operating officer and regional vice president for the Western United States with responsibility for 507 stores. So, but being a former franchisee gave me a lot of credibility. You know, as a corporate officer and a member of that management team with our franchisees, because they knew me intimately. And I think that, you know, having that experience really carried a lot of weight. I had an opportunity to meet a lot of folks along the way, and one of the folks I met through mostly IFA gatherings and functions was John Adams, who at the time was the CEO for Big O Tires. And John actually left Big O Tires and had an opportunity to take over the helm at Grease Monkey International in the latter part of 2012. And John and I started having some conversations, and one thing led to another. And I saw an opportunity here for a company that always had a good brand, but really didn't have a good vision. And John shared some of his visions with me, and we collectively got together, and I left Driven Brands December 2012 and started with Grease Monkey in 2013. You know, my experience at Driven Brands, I can't say enough good things about them, and, you know, the relationships that I had with all of the franchisees and all of my peers at Driven Brands was terrific. Actually, I did work a short period of time with Mako as well. So that's where I got to know and become good friends with Jerry Darnell, who you mentioned earlier. Jerry was instrumental in helping me learn a lot more about the Mako system and ramped me up more quickly on that side of the business. But stepping into my role at Grease Monkey, you know, running the operations department, the training department, procurement, and franchise development really added a lot more responsibilities, although, albeit a smaller company, responsibilities are responsibilities. And but I was able to take it in stride and ramp up very quickly in my position here with all the experience that was afforded to me over my time with Driven Brands. So I think the transition was pretty seamless for me. And I was able to gain quite a bit of credibility with my peers as well as the franchisees in the Grease Monkey system because of my experience at Driven Brands.
So were you referring to the move to the dark side being the move from being a franchisee to working for the franchisor?
Correct. Yeah, I was a franchisee for 24 years. You know, obviously for the last 7-8 years, I've been on the franchisor side now.
I mean, in my world, I get that dark side conversation a lot too, but it's my friends referencing my move from the Zor side to the supplier side. So I guess it's the same same context, same church, different pew. So, Ralph, you know, I think something else that's unique about your background, and I want to thank Jerry Darnell again for getting me and you together, because when we met in Denver a few weeks ago, we've seen each other for years, eyeballed each other, been polite and said hello to each other, but never really have had the opportunity to spend any amount of time together. And I've learned a whole lot about your background and the depth of what you've accomplished in your career. And I look back now knowing those things that I've learned over our meal together, and I look at your profile on LinkedIn and I see something, two things that strike me as significant. One is we all talk about VetFran and bringing veterans into franchising, but over the course of these shows that Paul and I do, I look back at guys like Eric Stites last year, who was in the Navy. I look back at your career as a flyboy and an Air Force pilot. I look at veterans over the shoulder now looking back and say, what a great validation it is for initiatives like VetFran, as I digress just a little bit, because when the history of careers like yours can exemplify what came from the kind of training and preparation the military might have provided for you, it just becomes something you can't ignore. You have to call it out and say it's a great thing to share with our audience. If you're not VetFran, get VetFran. You could be producing the next Ralph Yaruso and bringing them into your organization. Ralph, you've got another piece of depth to you, because I don't know too many people who have had as much experience as both an ops team member as well as a development person. And so taking the foundation of being a franchisee and the appreciation of the world through the eyes of the Z and the unit economics that have to be your focus when you're a franchisee, taking that into the world of ops and even development makes you a really special breed. Can you talk a little bit about how that impacts your business and how you conduct business today at Grease Monkey?
Sure. Yeah, I'd be happy to. Just taking one step back, though, I appreciate the vet friend, acknowledgement. And one of the first things I did when I came to Grease Monkey was implement a program for veterans. I went very, very aggressive after it. We have a 33% reduction in our franchise fee. I have a 50%, that's 50% royalty rebate for the first four quarters for veteran-owned franchisees now, and a 25% royalty rebate for the next four quarters to help, them transition, from military life to our system. So we've been very, very aggressive in recognizing our veterans, and obviously being a veteran, it's very, very important to me. I'm very passionate about it as well, so I appreciate that plug. But with respect to my role here, you're right. It's interesting. I make all of my regional directors, their main goal is unit profitability. And, in fact, they are responsible for unit profitability. So, I have to hold them to a higher standard of accountability with the franchisees. They own it. Their territory is their business. And I try and identify it that way, and each one of their franchisees are basically just a separate department of their business, and how they develop that relationship and influence those franchisees to change is how I judge them. But being above both the development side and the operations side really creates an opportunity for me to bridge that gap, or maybe eliminate the silos is a better way to explain it. I know that a lot of companies, a lot of franchise companies, the franchise salesperson will close a sale and move on. And now it's I no longer own that franchisee. I'm turning it over to real estate department or to operations, and I'm moving on to my next prospect, and the relationship somewhat ends at that point from the development department moving forward. Well, I have to transition that new franchisee from development over to operations, and frankly, the operations department and the development department of Grease Monkey work hand in hand. I have my regional directors, my marketing people, as well as my franchise development people are intimately involved all the way through opening. And whether it's real estate negotiations, whether it's training, I've got some very, very experienced folks on the development team that are making it a much smoother transition for our new franchisees coming into our system to become acclimated to what it's like, the day-to-day life of being a franchisee. So the silos are broken down. I enjoy being responsible for that franchisee from the day they fill out their application through opening day and beyond. So it really is working very quite well for Grease Monkey. And that's reflective in our validation. Our new franchisees are singing the song for us, which certainly makes the development program much easier. And last year was, Grease Monkey's been around for 38 years, and last year was the best year we've ever had with respect to unit growth, unit economics, off the chart. So we're quite pleased with the results that we've had. So yeah, it's exciting. It's an exciting place to be right now.
Somebody looking from the outside in would look at Grease Monkey and say, or come to the opinion that being it's not owned by a major oil company like some of your competitors and large competitors, that Grease Monkey would have a disadvantage. And if anything, from what I've learned over the years, it is actually the opposite. It actually gives Grease Monkey an advantage. Can you expand upon that, Ralph?
Yeah, great question. So, our franchisees can go to market. Now, we've got national programs with the likes of ExxonMobil and Chevron and several other major oil suppliers, but they have to fight for our business, where typically a branded oil change place is required to purchase a certain amount of product from that brand. And frankly, they just don't have the advantage from purchasing power. And so between our negotiations with our national account vendors and leveraging our relationship with the IFA has afforded us the opportunity to create a tremendous amount of added value back to our franchisees. Anything from, business insurance to accounting to HR, it doesn't really matter. We make all of our vendors, vie for the business and bid on the business, which puts us in a very unique opportunity. And again, our franchisees are often able to buy branded product for less than what those branded oil change places are buying it for, because the vendor actually needs to come to market with a sharper pencil because they have competition, where in a lot of those other situations they don't. So it works really well to our advantage.
Now, recently, Grease Monkey has acquired another brand. How does the new brand acclimate as it comes on board with the type of culture and the type of philosophy and vision that Grease Monkey has?
They've actually embraced. We've embraced each other, I should say. We acquired another brand, and we do have a relationship with that oil supplier. And we're going to we have a 5-year plan to reposition that brand and brand it Grease Monkey. But we bought that brand and realized the success that they were having, and frankly didn't want to mess that up. So it's an opportunity to learn from each other and grow with each other. And so we've learned some things from them that has really helped us a great deal on the Grease Monkey side of the business, and vice versa. And we're excited about adding them on and as having a sister company, and they are excited with some of the programs that we're offering, like our Pit Crew Guarantee program. So it's working quite well.
This is Franchise Today. I'm Stan Friedman along with Paul Segretto, and our guest today, Ralph Yeruso, Senior VP of Ops and Business Development at Grease Monkey International out of Denver. Franchise Today is brought to you today by the Franchise Foundry, a business accelerator boasting more than 30 years of experience helping emerging brands bring sustainable growth to their franchise systems. Utilizing hybrid coaching and consulting approaches, the Foundry's team fosters the development and deployment of effective short- and long-term solutions for their clients across several key areas, including franchise management and operations, change management, traditional and digital marketing, technology, relationship and business management, and, of course, franchise recruitment and development. The Franchise Foundry also assists franchise brands with raising capital and the exploration of merger and acquisition opportunities. You can learn more about their expanding list of clients across various industry segments by going to franchisefoundry.com. That's www.franchisefoundry.com. Franchise Today is also brought to you by FRM Solutions, offering best-in-class CRM and content management software designed specifically for managing franchise relationships. Built in industry-leading Microsoft Dynamics CRM, these solutions are both cloud-based as well as fully accessible from right inside your Outlook inbox. With FRM, you'll spend more time focused on the business of building top and bottom line growth, while FRM assists with effectively managing communications and collaboration with prospective and existing franchisees. You can sort, report, and dashboard all of your vital data and empower your team to accelerate franchise sales, streamline store openings, and better manage processes, workflows, unit-level performance, and compliance. There's no hassle, no long-term contracts, no excuses, just solutions. Find FRM on the web at frmsolutions.com. So, Ralph, at the beginning I talked a little bit about some companies like Dickey's and your old compadres back in the Carolinas that are finding great success with millennials and with younger consumers for franchises that might, in years gone by, been a slightly different profile than what some of you are out in the marketplace seeing today. Can you talk a little bit about that at Grease Monkey?
Yeah, I mean, you know, we millennials are not another country. You know, they're mingled with us. They're just some younger folks that are now moving into the business world, and frankly, they're here. We're not planning for them. They're here, and you know, I've got a 31-year-old son, a 30-year-old daughter, and the rest of the kids are in their 20s, and you know, we live with them every day and learn from them. I think that the real beauty of what's going on with the baby boomers and the millennials is this co-mingling of ideas, and I think that the real successful millennials are the ones that are tapping into a lot of the baby boomers' knowledge, and frankly, vice versa. So it's terrific. I love working with a lot of the millennials that are, you know, we've really brought a lot of younger folks into the Grease Monkey system and accounting departments and the marketing departments, and we share ideas. It's refreshing, and it's exciting. It's an exciting time to be in business, period. But understanding, you know, transparency and understanding technology is an obstacle for a lot of folks, you know, in their 50s and 60s. You know, I think that a lot of people live in fear of that, and you can't. You just need to embrace it, move forward, and continue to learn. It's funny, you know, my wife purchased some iPads for her folks. Both of her folks are in their 80s, and it was such a thing that, you know, they were so scared to even touch it. Now I got, you know, and my 83-year-old mother-in-law is texting and, you know, IMing and Facebook and FaceTiming. It's terrific. It's just great stuff, you know, and again, like I said earlier, it's just a great time to be in business and embracing all of the new technologies and stuff that's coming down the road.
So how do you see the profile today being different, if in any way, than it has been in years past for the perfect franchisor for a concept like yours? And a question I'll ask, I guess, as a subset to that is, so many times I've heard people in the maid business say, you know, there's this misconception that we're looking for maids to be franchisees. No, we need maids to clean houses or offices. Our franchisees have to fit a much different persona. So in your business, is it the mechanic that becomes the franchisee, or is it a different set of skills that drive success? So and help us by understanding who it is that ought to be looking at a franchise like yours.
Yeah, I don't think that our franchise system is different than any franchise system out there as far as looking for, you know, that perfect candidate. But I can tell you that the last one I'm looking for is a mechanic. Although it's great to have a mechanical aptitude, it's certainly not what we're looking for. We're looking for good business folks, people that have some accounting skills, most importantly, leadership skills. Our last, you know, we just had a franchisee open two brand new stores in Phoenix, Arizona. He's an attorney out of Bozeman, Montana. And we've got another franchisee that's been rapidly growing in the Pacific Northwest. He's a pilot for Delta. And, you know, so we're looking at very, very different, you know, career-minded folks that have good business acumen, that understand a P&L and a balance sheet. A technician is great to – we want them working on cars, but we don't necessarily need them or want them running a business. Not to say that we would prohibit one. I mean, if we've got a technical guy that, we just opened up a resale of a store in Denver where the guy that came in was a former, store manager and has a lot of experience in the Meineke system. He's doing a terrific job running our business. And we put a lot of emphasis on his experience and his resume. We know that, we don't have to worry about training him the technical side of the business. Now we just have to worry about making sure that he knows how to do a P&L and have some good accounting processes in place.
You know, Ralph, over the years, we've seen the industry, the automotive aftermarket, go from, general, where a lot of people would go into the dealerships, to a lot of specialty brands, whether it be in mufflers back in the day, brakes, transmissions, oil change, etc. And now we're starting to see, or have been seeing for a while, the specialty go away and more become generalists. Is this a trend that you see continuing, or do you see specialties coming about again in the future?
No, I see that trend continuing with respect to general automotive repair. I still consider the quick lube business a specialty niche. Not only are we convenient, much more convenient than most of our competitors that are in the general automotive sector, but we're fast. And, we know customers' time is important to them. We know that they want the job done right, they want it done fast, and they want it done by certified technicians. And that's one of the whole premise behind the Grease Monkey Pit Crew Guarantee, the initiative that we've been working on for the last several years at Grease Monkey. And, frankly, it's still a niche business for us, but I couldn't agree with you more. The competitors out there that are in the general, automotive sector, that AMCO and Meineke and Midas, where they all had, specific niche businesses and so on, they're just general automotive repair. So they morphed back into something that was real, dominant back in the 50s and 60s, where you had the general automotive garage that you took your car to and had work done on.
But it seems like with some of your certification programs, with your focus on the customer experience, you're actually, taking some of that stuff that was, prevalent in the early stages of automotive repair and taking it to today's audience, which I think is really outstanding because, as we know, customer service is what it's all about, and you guys are taking it to a different level by really latching on to the true words, which is the customer experience. Can you expand upon a little bit? And also, I'd like to know a little bit of insight into why it's a fun place to be involved.
Sure. Well, so several years ago, in fact, I'll go back 4 years, we surveyed about 7,000 customers, and half of those were Grease Monkey customers and half weren't. And, our research and from our marketing and studies clearly depicted what the consumer wants today. And, price wasn't really part of it. Ironically, when we did the same kind of research in Mexico, price was a little bit more of a concern. We have 61 stores in Mexico, so, we actually run that as a separate entity, Grease Monkey in Mexico. But getting back to the survey here in the United States, we found that, the consumer was looking for three main things, and that was, one, they wanted it done fast. We know that they come into a quick lube, they want to get in, they want to get out. They want to get on with their day. They're Americans, and they need to get going on with their life. Two, they want it done right. They want to make sure that, hey, I want to, I don't want any hassles. I want to make sure that I'm in, I'm out, and it's done right. And three, you know, I want to know that the guy working on my car is educated, he's certified. And so we implemented an online training system. We've got over 200 courses, both in Spanish and English. In fact, last year we exceeded 25,000 courses were taken by our staff members throughout our system.
Wow.
And we had over 9,000 hours of face-to-face training, man hours of training as well. So, great measurement, which I think is helping really drive our sales. So now we understand what the consumer wants. How do we create that differentiator between us and the rest of the industry on how we do, oil changes better? A lot of people do oil changes, but how does Grease Monkey do them better? Well, we came up with our program, and I mentioned a few times that Pick Who Guarantee, and we really put a stake in the ground there on that. And basically, what it is we have a certification program where each member has to take 18 courses online, which is their certification program, and then get evaluated at the center level by one of the regional directors. Once that's achieved and the entire center has achieved it, then that center becomes a certified Pit Crew Center. They have a lot of different features to that, and we break it down into four different categories. The welcome, what do we do when we greet the customer on their journey through our stores? The wait, what happens when the customer's, waiting in our lobby, and what experience do they have, and what can they expect, while the car is being worked on? Then we broke it down and we said, well, what's happening during the wait? So we had another segment called the show, and we actually take it a different level and almost provide entertainment for our customers. And then we wrap it up with the departure. What are we covering with the customer again on their journey for their departure when they leave? So, we've broken it down several different ways, but when we go to the greet or to the welcome, the Pit Crew Guarantee is pretty unique. And what that is we guarantee you a time when you arrive. So we'll meet you at the vehicle and say, are you familiar with the Grease Monkey Pit Crew Guarantee? And the consumer may say yes or no, but let's just say right now they say no. Well, at Grease Monkey, we're going to guarantee your vehicle will be done in, let's just use a number right now, 17 minutes or 18 minutes, whatever the vehicle is that's on the drive. And in fact, if we don't achieve that, we're going to give you a dollar back for every minute that we exceed that number. Most of our customers are pretty pleased with that because A, it's accomplishing what they want. And if you see our uniforms, that's also part of the show. With these guys are dressed in uniforms, we look like a NASCAR pit crew. And so we've got the look, we've got the action, we've got the words, and that all rolls back into that customer experience. Frankly, that's what makes it fun, because we're seeing tremendous growth and recognition from our customers, and it's working nicely, and it's a true differentiator because none of our competition is doing that. I hope none of them.
Yeah, I mean,
right.
I'll tell you, I'm very impressed. Spending some time in the last couple of days looking over the Grease Monkey website. And right there, front and center, is a customer survey on one of the tabs, and I think it's even referred to in another spot on the website. Bring it out in front and center when there are many companies out there that wouldn't even think about asking for a review because they would think that there was a negative in there someplace. I mean, this front and center is super impressive, Ralph.
Yeah, we take a lot of pride in that, we expand on it on the departure with the customer. We review. We don't talk about selling at Grease Monkey. We talk about informing. We have this saying. One of my regional directors came up with it, and we like our customers. The vehicle may not be 100% maintained because they may have elected not to do services, but we want them to be 100% informed. So we don't emphasize selling, we emphasize informing and educating our customers. And I think that's very important, for the customer to be able to make those decisions and properly maintain their vehicle and no high pressure sales. Again, I said before, we don't want to hassle. In fact, we have a saying. It's called, more hustle, less hassle. That's one of our sayings that we wear on our T-shirts in the stores to remind ourselves every day about our customer value proposition.
It's funny, I'm reminded again of a conversation that I had several months, probably even years ago now. There's a place that was close to my home, and I used to go there for an oil change. And I went there with the same dread that one might go to a timeshare weekend vacation with the family, knowing that there's going to be that hour where you just have to sit down and get pounded about why you want to buy one of these. And I'd go get my oil change knowing that someplace in that 15 or 20 minutes that I'm sitting there is going to be the guy walking in with a filter or walking in with some part going, ooh, we got to fix this today. And I made a change to a I'm not going to say more reputable place, but a place at least that had a focus on something, as you just described, which was, I'm going to tell you what you need to hear, whether you want to hear it or not. I'm not going to try to back you into a corner to buy it, though. And the trust factor was exponentially different. I actually went to that place confident that if I was told something, I needed to hear it and go check it out with somebody else if you want a second opinion. But it wasn't somebody trying to corner me like a timeshare sales guy to buy something here and now. That's got to be a big part of the training that you put your franchisees through, I would guess, Ralph.
Yeah, it is, and we're using a lot more technology now as well. There's so many tools that you can have to help inform the customers on the right things to do with their vehicles. One of the things that's important to us as a company, and it's one of the cornerstones of our strategy map, and that's developing long-term relationships. The average consumer, they'll come into Grease Monkey and maybe spend $30 on an oil change, whatever the case may be. But the average consumer spends about $758 per year in maintenance on their vehicle. And they also own 2.7 vehicles per household. I'm more interested in that relationship and being able to be there for that customer, big picture, long term, than I am on that transaction. So it's important that we have that relationship built, that we have the confidence in the consumer, that they have the confidence in us because we're certified, because we're trained, and because we're respectful of their time, that we'll continue to do business and grow together. So I think that it's a real reciprocating relationship that we have with our customer base, and it's working. It's working well.
How many of your franchisees, Ralph, are multi-unit owners versus single-unit operators?
We're about 50-50, 50% multi-unit operators. We don't have a lot of real large operators. We have one guy that's got 17 and another guy that's got 11. Everybody else is, in that, 5 to 6 range or single-unit operators. So, so we've got a nice mix.
And when these multiple unit owners are coming on board, are they coming on board making commitments to future units at that time, or are they coming on board and taking second bites of the apple after they've been operating for a while?
We've been experiencing both. We recently did a multi-unit deal in West Texas. A couple of younger franchisees, arguably millennials, did a 5-pack with us and took out Lubbock. That market is closed now for Grease Monkey for development, and they are in development for their first store. We've seen a lot of both. We have that attorney that I mentioned in Phoenix. He opened his first store last July. He opened up his second store last month, and he's already acquired a third license for another store in Phoenix. So he's going to pick them off one at a time. So we're seeing, trends both ways.
To me, there's no greater validation than somebody who is already operating, has been in the business now. The honeymoon is over. The newness of the car, new car smell has worn off, and they're still coming back for more. That is, to me, the ultimate validation for anybody taking a look at your concept and saying, is the deal real? Paul, I don't know if there's anything else you've got on your mind before we ask Ralph to let people figure out how to find him, but I sure have learned a lot more today and have enjoyed doing it.
Well,
Well, the first, the last thing I want to touch on, you had touched on, you know, VetFran. And I want to let our listening audience know that Grease Monkey also proudly supports Canines for Warriors, who help provide service canines to warriors suffering from post-traumatic stress and or traumatic brain injury, a result of a military service post-9/11. That's just a fascinating program, and I think it's just great.
Thank you. Yeah, we're real proud of that. We've had that relationship now for about 3 years, and, you know, it works well. We've been active. They're based in Florida, and they're just a wonderful organization, and it's great to do that for our veterans.
Awesome. Paul, you can take it home for us.
So, Ralph, how would anybody that's interested in talking with you, presumably about a franchise or anything about Grease Monkey, how would they best get in touch with you?
Well, you know, we're easy to find on the internet, so that's pretty simple. But I'm just happy to share my cell phone number direct, and that's 303-587-6373.
Boy, that's fantastic, and I think that just lends right with what I saw on the website, customer survey, a different box, customer service, right on the top, a phone number, and now you're giving your cell phone. I mean, that's fantastic. And Ralph, it was a pleasure having you as a guest today. Again, thank you for taking your time out of a busy day. We really do appreciate you being our guest.
Oh, my pleasure, gentlemen. Thank you for having me.
And make sure you give those franchisees back the hour that we took away from you so that their training is complete, Ralph.
Okay, I will do.
Yeah. Okay.
Thanks, my friend.
One last thing. Ralph, one last thing. I actually got a message just a second ago from Nancy Friedman, the telephone doctor, says, tell Ralph I said hello. I love him.
Well, you know, we've taken her courses, and we've expanded on them, and you know, you wouldn't think that you need to really focus a lot on telephone procedures and a quick lube store, but we do. And she's been absolutely terrific in helping us refocus. You know, Grease Monkey answered the phone the same way for 35 years, up until about 3 years ago, and we completely changed it. And that's been a difficult habit to change with a lot of our franchisees. So hats off to Nancy and the telephone doctor. She was absolutely terrific and instrumental in us getting our franchisees on board with better phone technique.
Well, that's great. Well, thanks again. I wanted to get it in there. Stan, another great show. I did want to thank Eric Stites for being our guest last week. You mentioned him earlier in the show, but I wanted to thank him as he was a last-minute guest as we lost a guest that was ready to go on. So that's always nice. The community is always supporting us. We're seeing our listenership, you know, slowly climb to new heights. All is good on the Franchise Today front.
And I'm going to just keep watching with interest, Paul, as we bring guests on, because I'm seeing a profile in military backgrounds, not at the beginning as we do with VetFran, with people we're talking about franchising to, but guys like Ralph, guys like Joe Lindenmeyer, so many people who have Mary Kennedy Thompson, who have this rich military culture as part of their upbringing, who we can fast forward the tapes to these mature portions of their career and see some real common denominators that just continue to scream veterans and franchising. And if I took anything out of this conversation with Ralph that I think is absolutely commendable, it's not just helping these franchisees that were veterans get in on the front end, but also helping with forgiveness on some of their recurring revenue lines for the first couple of years. Because if there's one barrier to entry that I think is the most significant in helping veterans get started in franchising, it's the ramp up. It's the upfront and the ramp up. And you know, there's a big gap between the money they're making serving us in the armed forces and the needs to get a business started. So it sounds to me like Grease Monkey is not just looking forward to helping veterans get in, but they're looking forward to helping them stay in and supporting them through those first couple of years with the ability to have sustainable growth and putting some of those dollars back into the business instead of yanking them out as royalty.
Yeah, just a fantastic culture, you know, looking at the website and talking about the customer service aspect. I think I saw no less than 4 touch points of a quick review of the site where somebody could either survey what was going on about their experience or actually a direct phone number. In today's day and age, a direct phone number to customer service. I know sometimes I've got to call somebody at a company, I look at their website, and it's a half an hour, and I'm still looking for, you know, the phone number. This is front and center, as is the survey, and then Ralph giving his cell phone number. I mean, it's just extraordinary, and I think it's just, it's a culture. It's
yep.
a great culture. That's fantastic. Well, Stan, until next week. We'll be back here, same bat time, same bat station. My name is Paul Segreto, wishing you the best, the very best, in this great, great thing we call franchising. And Franchise Today is out.